Okay, you can open your Bibles back to the book of Hebrews. Sunday morning we began a study of the short phrase, "Let us therefore." And we found all of the first four in Hebrews 4 alone, that one chapter. And in the course of my study I found several others, 13 to be exact, in the book of Hebrews. I miscounted Sunday. I thought there were only 12, but 13 in the book of Hebrews alone. 13 of these little phrases, "let us therefore," far from being a little phrase, they have contained great meaning. Let me give you a little English lesson here, first of all. The word "therefore" is an adverb. And what it means is, therefore, whenever you see a therefore, to put it very simply in Brother Barnard's language, see what it's there for, what he used to say. It's an adverb. It means because of, or for this reason, therefore, or for this reason, let us such and such. And we looked at four, the first four. Let me rehearse them with you, first of all. Hebrews 4, verse 1. He said unto us, "Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest," for that is simply trusting God, believing, "any of you should seem to come short of it." And the "therefore" is there for this reason, because he told us about the Israelites who experienced all the blessings of God for so many years in the wilderness, the blessings of God, the miracles of God. And Paul even said, they, verse 2, they had the gospel preached unto them. That does away with dispensationalism, doesn't it? They had the gospel preached unto them. Moses preached the gospel. He did it by striking a rock. He did it by various ways. And the gospel was preached to them, but not being mixed with faith, they perished. So he says, therefore now, let us fear. Because we've been through basically the same things, the miracles of God, the blessings of God. We've had the gospel preached unto us. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left to us, we should come short of it. And then the second one was in verse 11, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. Brother Fortner and I were just marveling at the fact that people could get a Sunday Sabbath out of Hebrews 4. This is the argument that men use in favor of a Sunday Sabbath, a new Sabbath day. But verse 11 puts that completely to rest. Because it says, that rest. In other words, let us labor to quit working on Sunday. That's not what he's talking about there. Verse 10 says, his rest, right? His rest. He also ceased from his own works. He that has entered into Christ's rest has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, the rest, salvation that's in Christ, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. That's clear, isn't it? And that's so clear to me. But he says it involves labor. That's the labor. John, this is what you need to labor to avoid, this legal attitude. You need to labor. It's hard work to get away from feeling like, you know, that Sunday's not the Sabbath. You have to labor to get that out of your head, out of your system, because it's ingrained in you. Christ is our Sabbath, right? Even he said, I didn't mean get off on Sabbath. That's not my subject. Christ is our Sabbath. But he says, labor to enter into that rest. It's hard work. The hardest thing, my pastor used to say, is the hardest thing in the world for a man to do is just rest. Just believe God. Feel like you've got to work his way to heaven. Self-righteousness stays in you till the day you die. And it's hard work to get rid of it. Labor. And because this gate is straight, the way is narrow, he says, strive to enter in, and so therefore, kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent, those who really want in, strive. Take it by force. Press to enter in. There is a labor involved. Study. Show yourself approved. Seek. Ask. Knock.
beat on the gates of heaven. Let me in. That's a labor involved. All right, the third one was verse 14. Let us hold fast then our profession of faith. And the therefore is verse 14. Seeing, that's the same thing. Seeing then, or therefore, because of, we've got a great high priest, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Because we've got, there's a man in glory. And he's the way to God, the only way to God. And there's no other way to God. Not your works, not my works of righteousness, but you, only his work. Let us hold fast. Don't cling to anything else, not your profession, not anything else. Cling to Christ and him. Let us hold fast this profession of faith. Christ, because we've got, there's a man in glory, a high priest, a substitute, a representative, a mediator. So hold fast to Christ. Verse 16. Is the fourth one. He says, then let us come. Let us therefore. And that therefore is there for the reason of verse 15. We don't have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but he, in all points, touched, tempted, loving, merciful, gracious, caring high priest who loves us and intercedes for us and undertook this great and glorious work for us. He came to earth strictly to save sinners, and he did it and went back to pray for them from that day forward. So let us come boldly, confidently, assuredly to the throne of grace, to God. Christ says, come on in now. I've parted the veil. Y'all come on in. We're all family now. Didn't he say there in John, was it John 16? He said, now you can pray to the Father. John 15, you can pray to the Father and he'll hear you because of me. And that's the sense there. Therefore, because he's gone into the presence of God and opened that way for us. All right, now in Hebrews 6, Hebrews chapter 6, you'll find one here, one of these let us. Hebrews chapter 6. All right, so let us fear, let us labor, let us hold fast, let us come. And after coming to Christ by faith, he says in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, and I just gave them to you in four short statements, let us go on to perfection. Now, let us come to Christ, and after you've come there, let us go on. Now, he doesn't mean let's leave Christ. Let me give you an illustration. We all have homes, don't we? Every one of us have homes. And this is our home. They're our home base, so to speak, our dwelling place, from which we venture out. We go to work, we go to the store, we go here and there, but we never really leave home, right? We always come back. We always touch base. No, we're never far from our dwelling place. Our minds, our thoughts are there. We go out to meet expenses and so forth. Christ is our dwelling place. Christ is the foundation of our faith. Right? He is our home. Isn't he? Isn't he our tabernacle? Our dwelling place? He's the object of our faith. We never get too far from Christ. Never. Never go too far from Christ. We think of him in everything, in whatever we do. In whatever course of study, he's talking about going on to maturity and leaving the principal or foundational truths and principles and doctrines, the first things you learn in this thing of salvation. God's sovereign. God elected a people. Christ must come and pay for their sins. And the Holy Spirit must in time convict them of their sins and draw them to himself, and they will persevere. And these basic principles, all right, we're founded on this truth of Christ, his salvation. We never stray far from that, but let's go on and build on that. See, that's the foundation. Christ is the foundation of our faith. And whatever course of study we undertake, Christ crucified is the heart of it, right? He's the foundation of it. You build on that. You don't start. Nobody builds a house and starts with the attic. You start with the foundation. Whatever course of study. I was telling Mindy the other day, I said, you know, I get up here on Sunday morning, especially Sunday morning, and I go through these same things over again. I talk about, now, do you know why Christ came? And I go through the story of how Christ came and had to live the life as a man, establish righteousness, and then be punished under God's law to pay for those broken, for that broken law, and pay for, and go through that over and over again. And I look into the faces of people who have heard this umpteen times, right? And I think sometimes the inclination goes over me to just skip that and go on. They've heard that before. Mindy said, "Oh no, no, don't do that." I still rejoice to hear those same things over and over. But there's visitors out here, and they've got to hear the way of salvation. Now, Sunday night might not be as graphic. Wednesday night, right now, I don't see, there's no visitors here. But I'm still telling you the same thing. But in a more descriptive way, or less descriptive way, in a generalized way. You understand what I'm saying? Nevertheless, that's the foundation you start on. You always start on the foundation of our faith, which has already been laid. It's no man can lay, but it's already been laid. Christ Jesus, our Lord, He's the foundation. And whatever subject you go on to, you build upon that foundation. Christ crucified. You talk about love. Let's preach a sermon on love. Where are you going to start? Greater love hath no man than this. Behold, what manner of love. You talk about the greatest description of love the world's ever known. God's gift of His Son. Well, and on and on and on. But whatever decision, He says, let us go on. Whatever decision we make in our lives, our relationship with Christ should be considered. Let us go on, but never stray far from Christ. Always be thinking of Him. All right? Christ, His person and His work. Let us come to Christ. Let's come to a firm persuasion. And this is the sense of what Paul's saying. As strong meat, everyone that should be keen of hearing instead of dull of hearing. He admonished the people for not being so. They ought to be teachers, but they're dull of hearing. But he says, you ought to be used to milk and go on to strong meat and have these things and be firmly persuaded. Have a confident belief and trust in Christ so that you'll never be moved away. And after that groundwork is laid, we need to build ourselves up or grow in grace. So let us go on to perfection. Grow in grace, grow in knowledge, grow Christ-like, grow in love, grow in patience, grow in the fruit of the Spirit, grow in gentleness, and so forth. Right? See, don't give a dissertation, a 45-minute exposition of the atonement every time you stand up. Right? But you lay the groundwork there, don't you? And you build on that. He'd say, husbands, love your wives. Why? Love them as Christ loved the church. And talk about that. And you say, no, that's how you are. You see what I'm saying? Everything goes from there. So you don't leave the gospel. You don't ever leave the gospel, do you? You start there. And you go on to deal with other, and you keep touching base, don't you? All right. Now over to Hebrews 10. So he says, let us go on. Hebrews 10. And let us go on through Hebrews. Hebrews 10, verse 22. I could have easily preached, well, how that sounded, but a man could easily preach on each one of these let us's, 13 of them, in the book of Hebrews alone. But rather than weary you, I'm going to try to get through them. Let us go on. Hebrews 10, verse 22. He says, and now here he says, now let us draw near. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance. In other words, we need to quit wavering all the time. Christ upbraided or admonished, gently admonished is a better word, the people for their lack of faith. Oh, ye of little faith, how long must I bear with you? Oh, ye of little faith, don't you know who I am? Oh, Philip, don't you know who I am? I've been so long time with you. Roberta, have you been so long under the gospel? The same thing could be said to us, couldn't it? Right? Everyone, how long? How long? When are we going to quit being shaken and stand firm on Christ the Rock? So let us draw near, he says, with a true heart. That is a heart full of faith, a true heart. You remember how Paul talked to Timothy about that, a good conscience and a true heart. In full assurance of faith. In full assurance of faith. Is it possible for a man or a woman to have full assurance of their salvation? He just told us to do so, didn't he? Huh? What is it based upon? How can one have full assurance of faith? Based upon my attendance in church, my prayers, my duties, my faith? Oh, it's vacillating. It's up and down. I'm like the wave of the sea. Well, what is not like the wave? What doesn't vacillate? What stays the same all the time? Rather, who? A rock. A rock, you know. This Pacific Ocean looks big and looks mighty and all that, but it's like this. Peaks of otter have been like that for years. And they'll be like that for years when the ocean runs dry. A rock. And Christ is that rock. That rock that you can build your house upon. Christ is that nail in a sure place. And full assurance can be had if you have a sovereign, immutable Lord and Savior. If you have an immutable Lord, or that is one who never changes, then you can have full assurance of faith. You can have full assurance. If you have a surety, I've said this so many times, if you have a surety, you can have assurance. Because salvation is not based upon you, anything about you. It's based upon Him and everything concerning Him. And as big as your God is as big as your faith can be, right? As sure as your Christ is and as sure as that work of salvation is how much assurance you can have. All right, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Who's the thee? Got an hour? The one, the only true God and Jesus Christ. So let us draw near to God. And this, therefore, is verse 19. Having, therefore, brethren, boldness, or that is liberty. Do you have a marginal reference? Liberty, freedom, access to enter into the holiest by the blood of Christ, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, having a high priest over the house of God. Therefore, let us draw near to God, with a true heart, really believing in Christ in full assurance, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Now, I do need to ask you this question. Having your heart sprinkled from an evil conscience. You don't trust your own righteousness now, do you? You wouldn't do that, would you? Okay. That's all I need to ask. That's having your heart sprinkled from an evil conscience. Dead works. And one more question. You're not like Balaam, are you? The double-minded man? In other words, you're not in this thing for what you can get out of God. And you're not really, you're really sincere about this, aren't you? You're not a hypocrite? You're really seeking God? All right. Now that's a heart sprinkled from an evil conscience, a new heart. He said, a new heart will I give unto them. And I'll remind you that verse that talks about heart is deceitful above all things. Not talking about a new heart. He gave us a new heart. Talking about that natural, unregenerate heart. And he says, your body's washed with pure water. What are we washed by? What is it? What is this water that Scripture talks about that we're washed with? The Word of God. The Word of God. And here's another one. Verse number 7. Verse 23. And I'll remind you, washing your body with the Word of God is, David said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. The more inclined you are to his precepts, the more knowledgeable of them, the more God's word has a hold of you, the less sin will have a hold of you. Your body's washed. That makes sense? Verse 23, number 7. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Here's the reason that he's faithful. I like that. Don't you? Well, you say you already gave that. Well, no, I didn't give it. The Lord did. I didn't give it. And I didn't repeat it. He did. Must be mighty important, mustn't it? Must be mighty important, since it bears repeating. But there's a different meaning here. There's a little different meaning. I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6 with me. 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6. There's a little different meaning to this. This hold fast. Let us hold fast. Verse 13. 1 Timothy 6, verse 13. It says here that I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Now, my Bible gave reference to that. Did yours? You have a Cambridge, it did. My Bible gave reference back to 1 Timothy 6, 13. Now remember that. This is talking about Christ before Pilate who witnessed a good confession. Now back to the text. Back to verse 23 of Hebrews 10. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. In other words, let us, without fear, without hesitation, without compromise, witness a good profession before others. Let us. For he is faithful that promised. Well, he is faithful. We need to act as if we believe the one who gave us his word. Abraham did, didn't he? Abraham left his home. He didn't have a Bible, did he? He said that God spoke to him. Now, we have a more sure word of prophecy than even Abraham had. Right? That's what Peter said. Abraham left his home, family, 75 years old, left his home, family, ventured, going out, not knowing where he was going. Why? God said so. God said to. Abraham took his son up on the mountain, would have killed him. Why? It wasn't written. God said so. God said so. He believed. Abraham believed what God said. Therefore, it was imputed unto him for righteousness. He believed God. He just believed God. And we need to be believers like that. Just take God at his word and act. Right? We need to act like God's people. We need to believe. We need to trust him. We ain't got that much, do we? We've got the last chapter. We've read the last chapter. We know how it's going to turn out, Henry. Abraham didn't. Moses didn't. David didn't. They just believed God, though. They never saw God. They didn't know Jesus Christ. They believed he was coming. They believed in that he was coming. They looked to him in the future. But they did. We've got the finished story. What are we worried about? Does that admonish you? Does that reprove and rebuke you for our lack of faith? Oh, ye of little faith. So let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Without wavering, without hesitation, without fear of men, without fear of consequence, without fear of the future. What's a little knife anyway? Huh? What's a little surgery anyway? What's a job change? What's this? What's that? What is that anyway? We haven't left. We haven't yet strived against sin unto blood yet, have we? All right. Well, verse number 8 now. So let us hold fast the profession of our faith. And look at verse 24. This is another let us. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Or therefore, since we have this blessed access. Now think about this. Think, where's the therefore there, preacher? It's there. And go all the way back. Now, this was a continuation of a sentence. He said, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good work. Since we have this access, this grace. Now, I'm the chief of sinners. Now, since he let me in, since he called me by his grace, therefore, boy, I can provoke, tell old Henry, Henry, I don't care how bad you are, buddy, I provoke you to seek the same mercy and the same grace. Encourage you to do the same. Let us provoke, not provoke in the sense that we do most of the time, provoke one another. But provoke unto love. Building up, how do you do that? Building up one another in your most holy faith. Listen to these ways. Really don't have time to read them, but I'll do it anyway. You're my captive audience. Listen to these verses of Scripture. Say, talk about us doing to one another. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns. Teaching and admonishing one another. That's how you provoke to love God, to love the gospel, love one another. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort yourselves together and edify one another. That's how you provoke one another to love. Comfort one another. Edify with these words. Exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And in verse 25, the ultimate reason, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. This is the ultimate way you provoke one another to love. Don't forsake meeting together. And that's what we're doing right here. Don't forsake this. This is your help. This is your strength. This is your encouragement. This is your comfort. This is where you get fed. This is where you get strength for tomorrow and the rest of the week. This is it. There is strength in numbers, in believers, that is. All right, and he says, consider one another by being considerate, thoughtful, caring, looking on the things of others. All right, now Hebrews 12, and I'm going to hurry. I'm going to get through these. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, number 9. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, there's the therefore, but it just has a wherefore there. Same thing. Wherefore, therefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, he just told the story all the way through Hebrews 11. Now, are any of you weary right now? Are you weary sitting here listening to me? And maybe we ought to read Hebrews 11. Now, we're sitting in a padded pew. We drove up in heated, air-conditioned, nice, comfortable automobiles. Our bellies are full, very full. We have all the comforts we could possibly. Are we weary? Are we tired of hearing these glorious things? Hebrews 11, the whole book, the whole chapter, talks about the trials and afflictions and temptations and troubles and torments. And, well, look at some of it with me. Hebrews 11, verse 38 and 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, thrown in the lion's den. That'd be a pretty uncomfortable way. Quenched the violence of fire, burned at the stake for what they believed. Escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the alien. When was the last time we got in a fight over what we believe? Our life threatened. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured. Mothers watching their, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings and bonds and imprisonment, stones, sawn asunder, tempted, slain with a sword, wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. The world's not worthy of these people, living in caves and mountains and dens and all that. Verse 1 of chapter 12, wherefore? Seeing we're compassed about with such a great cloud of people, of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset. You know what is the weight and the sin that does so easily beset us? sleep. Comfort. You're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, the Lord said in rebuke to the church there in Revelation, didn't it? Why doesn't the gospel speak to it? We're too comfortable. Right? We're too comfortable. We're at ease in Zion, Scripture says. Let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside everything that hinders our spiritual growth. Let us lay aside everything that gets in the way between us and our relationship with Christ. Let us lay aside whoever, whatever it is. Let us lay it aside. Every weight that so easily beset us. And what so easily besets us more than anything, I'll be honest with you, from experience, is worldliness. And the sin, he said, that does so easily beset us, that's unbelief. And we ought to have more reason to believe God than anybody. Like I said, we've got the finished book. And we're fat and we're sassy. And we've unbelief that so easily besets us. Alrighty, go on. He says, here's another let us, verse 1. And let us run. Cast aside these hindrances, these heavy clothing, these things that get in the way of our relationship with God and Christ, and these things that bar our view of His excellency, and run. Enter this spiritual warfare. He said, there's a warfare going on. Didn't he? What's the song? I hope I can quote it. Cherry, must I go to heaven on flowery beds of ease while others sail through bloody seas? Something like that. Are no foes to fight? Is all the world a friend to grace? Oh, let us run the race. Walk by faith. Walk in paths of righteousness, but run the race that's set before us. How are you going to do that? Only one way. Look to Christ. He's the finish line. And once again, Abraham didn't. He looked to one he'd never seen, didn't know his real name. And we have the finished book. And we can look clearly. Same, we have more light. The glasses, the spectacles, the whole spectacle fits. We can have 20/20 to see that Christ is who He says He, who the Bible says He was. Looking to Him, He's the finish line. He's the goal. He's our greatest pursuit. Christ is our life. Number 11. Look at verse 28. Hebrews 12, verse 28. Verse 28. Wherefore, we receiving, there's the wherefore. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. I like that, don't you? Christ said, I go to prepare a place for you, and it's a sure thing. Father will not turn down His any reservation the Son makes. The Father made it. And He says, I go to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come back and take you there personally. That's what He's saying. Wherefore, we have a kingdom, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let's have grace whereby we may serve God. Show a little grace. Let's have a little grace. Huh? I believe grace, preacher. Well, let's have a little bit then. Let's believe it. Well, let's possess a little bit of it. To the one who walks in the light God gives him. Now, this is just a principle. To the one who walks in the light God gives him, God gives more light. Right? I've said that before about the natives in the jungle. If they were really seeking God, God give more light until He pointed them to Christ. He did that in Africa. He does that in Mexico. To the one who walks in the light God gives, God give more light. To the one who's faithful in a few things, God will
give him more. Right? To him that hath, more will be given to him. To the one who lives by faith, what's he going to get? More faith. It's just a biblical principle. To the one who is thankful for and dependent upon God's grace and lives by faith, he giveth more grace. He said, I don't see how they go to the stake like that. I don't see how. How did that person, that man, that woman stand up under such a trial? He gives more grace. Paul, how did Paul go through? God gave him grace. He acted upon it, lived upon it by God's grace. God gave him more grace. He acted upon it. God gave him more grace. Until he was a gracious man. Right? Until finally he says, Paul, my grace is sufficient. And Paul said, I know it's a fact. And Paul had, if anybody had full assurance, he did, didn't he? Even though he called himself chief sinner. All right, number 12. Let me hurry. Hebrews 13. Look at verse 13. Hebrews 13:13. And I ought to devote a whole message to this. I may do it Sunday morning. Verse 13 says, let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Therefore, let us go forth to Christ without the camp. And I say this with all seriousness, and let me end on this note. Let us go forth unto him without the camp, it says. In all seriousness, I say this, that the message that I'm delivering you tonight is of more importance and far more serious and of eternal consequences than the inauguration address of our new president of the United States. It really is. Now, he called upon, I listened to the address, he called upon this nation for unity among the people, and a common cause of democracy. I call upon you as God's people for unity among God's people in a common cause of theocracy. Not democracy, theocracy. That's where God reigns and rules. That we're to fear and worship an almighty God, a renewal of that unity of the faith, one Lord, one faith. He called for all of us to join him in revitalizing and renewing America. Now, that is a noble cause. I'm not making light of that. It's a noble cause. Yet I say, this nation is one nation not under God, but under the wrath of Almighty God, a wicked and perverse nation, and I call upon us as believers, as disciples of the Holy Son of God, I call upon us to save ourselves from this untoward generation. Not unite with it, but save ourselves from it. To leave the camp. All the world is calling for unity in religion. I say leave it. This is what Hebrews 13:13 is saying too. Leave the camp. When you go to Christ in true religion, you got to leave the world's religion. You got to leave it. And you got to go forth unto Christ and bear his reproach. Take up his cross without the camp, without modern religion, without the approval and the fellowship and the kinship of this world. Go forth unto him, bearing his reproach, bearing the scorn, the mockery of the world, the contempt, the persecution of the world for your stand for the gospel. And that's what I'm calling on us to do. Let us, therefore, unite in this one common cause. Not democracy, but the fear of God and the worship of him and the following discipleship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And lastly, it says here in Hebrews 13:15, it says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. Anybody's got anything to be thankful for and praise God for, we do. Well, let's do it. Let us do it. Let us therefore. I hope you got something out of that. All right, stand with me and I'll dismiss us in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we stand in awe of Your Word. You can just take a simple phrase such as "let us," and great and glorious and eternal truths are set forth from Your Word. Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? The world by wisdom knew not God, but in the wisdom of God He made foolish the wisdom of this world, and revealed this great wisdom to the babes, and hid these things from the wise and prudent. Lord, may we ever be learning and come to a knowledge of the truth. And let us therefore, seeing we have all of these blessed promises and all of these blessings and all of these witnesses and everything we've looked at, the blessed promises of God, let us therefore come to Christ by faith, come boldly to the throne of grace, draw near unto God, and have grace, and act and live by faith. Let us praise Your name for who You are and what You've done. In the name of Christ, we have met together and beseech You for His sake, for our good. Amen. You're dismissed.